This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Hello, America. This is Washington Watch on Friday, September 2nd, in the year of our Lord, 2016. I'm your guest host, Ken Klukowski, Senior Counsel and Director of Strategic Affairs at First Liberty Institute, the largest law firm in the United States exclusively dedicated to protecting religious liberty. Check out what we're doing there, fighting for your rights at firstliberty.org. Also, senior legal editor for Breitbart News Network, exposing the truth about the liberal left and telling you the real news that the mainstream media tries to ignore. Find out what's really going on in your country at Breitbart.com. But instead of First Liberty or Breitbart, I'm speaking to you as a Christian, conservative, husband, father, and citizen blessed to live in the greatest nation in the history of the world, the United States of America. We're talking faith, family, and freedom, and we want you to join us at 866-372-7234. In fact, we're going to be opening up the phone lines a little early today. I want everyone to respond to what I see as some of the breaking news this week. And so we're going to be talking about immigration and corruption. And we want to hear all of you, see if you agree, and if so, to sound off to our leaders in Washington and let them know that you mean business at 866-372-7234. Welcome to Washington. Here we go. And as we're waiting, we've got some wonderful guests lined up here. But before we get going, as I said, I want to open up to all of you right away talking about the prospective immigration policy of one of the potential presidents for the United States, Mr. Donald Trump, which was huge news this week. I should, given the subject matter, add that Washington Watch and our related affiliates do not support or oppose candidates for president or any federal office. Any endorsements made or opinions expressed are strictly in a personal capacity and do not represent the views of Washington Watch or those who carry the program. But I am happy to offer you my opinion, and I am happy to hear what yours is, especially if you disagree, folks, because this is stuff where our future hangs in the balance. I mean, the kind of country that our children are going to inherit is being dictated by the policy choices that we're going to make just over the coming months here. And I think that is huge. And in that regard, I want to break down several things, starting off with myself here. We have a great guest, but we're dealing with travel difficulties right now. And so I'm going to lay out for you the broad strokes of the immigration policy that was set out by presidential candidate Donald Trump. And I want to hear a yay or a nay in terms of whether or not all of you agree with my take on this. First of all, I think that Mr. Trump laid out a very serious substantive speech. It was over 75 minutes long. And, you know, whenever you're talking more than an hour about a policy matter, you can't avoid getting into specifics there. And in fact, he laid out a 10-point comprehensive plan regarding immigration reform. And I think, or at least I hope all of us can agree, that immigration in this country is broken. That it is not serving the national interest at this point. Those on the left want some things. Those on the right want others. But there seems to be a broad national consensus that the current system is outmoded by decades and no longer addresses by anyone's lights the needs of modern America. Now, in my mind, I think you can break Donald Trump's speech down into three broad parts. One is border enforcement. The second is dealing with problem illegal aliens who are here. And I will say, and I'm not a fan, as all of you who listen to this show when I'm guest hosting knows, I am not a fan of political correctness. I don't like the term undocumented immigrants because this isn't a country where you need documentation. So I don't like the connotation of undocumented. It also makes it sound like everything's okay. They just can't find a piece of paper. So how big of a deal can it be? No, it's not a matter of being undocumented. It's a matter of being here illegally. It's a matter of being here in a country. What sets America apart is that we are a nation under the rule of law. We are a nation of laws and not of men. And everyone has to obey the law in this country, all the way from the President of the United States down to the simplest and most modest and humble person. And in this rule of law, that's why people want to break into this country. Ironically, that's why we have an immigration problem, is that we have laws that are predictable on contract rights, property rights, civil obligations of one person to another. It's family rights, the ability to start a business. I mean, it's, you know, the idea is to have taxes that are low, regulations that are predictable. All of those things are matters of law, and it makes this a great country to live in and a great country to do business in, where you know that if someone wrongs you, you can go to court. Where most people are expected to just keep their word, keep their commitment, respect your rights, respect your family, respect your property. And if someone does something that is injurious to another person, that there are remedies and that that provides a deterrent effect that keeps us all safe. So, I mean, so you have this country built on the rule of law, and then you have people who just come into this country illegally. And the idea is, if you don't respect our laws, then you would have a real hard time assimilating into this culture in a way that reflects what makes us such a great country to begin with. So illegal instead of undocumented, and aliens instead of immigrants. For me, immigrant has the connotation of someone who is coming here to make this their home. An alien, that's just the legal term for a non-citizen. It means you're here as a foreigner. Immigrant has the connotation that you've come here to make a home. Alien accurately describes it as someone who is in this country, but someone who's not here with a vested legal right to be here. Someone who's here by a foreigner. You're either here legally or you're here illegally. So one, being border enforcement. Two, being dealing with criminal illegal aliens, those who have actually caused harm to American citizens. And then three, what do you do with the people who the only law that they've broken is that they came here or stayed here illegally? But that aside from that, they've been a largely a productive person. Maybe they've gotten married. Maybe they've got even children here. Those children under the 14th Amendment, or at least under Congress's current immigration law passed to enact the 14th Amendment, are actually citizens at birth. So it's an issue of, well, I mean, it's, are you going to break up families? Are you going to say that the parents leave and the kids have to go with them and maybe come back someday later? I mean, all of that gets to be very, very problematic. But the bottom line is we have at least, bare minimum, 11 million illegal aliens here in this country. And so first of all, Mr. Trump laid out securing the border. And that for about 1,000 miles of the length of the border, that this would mean an actual physical wall. Now, we've never had something like that along the border in this country. I will tell you, as someone who's been to Israel a number of times, in fact, all of you can check out Google Klukowski Breitbart security barrier. And I lay out the stats there of the incredible benefits that you had to the nation of Israel when they built their security barrier. I actually met with and had a day-long briefing with Colonel Daniel Tirza of the Israeli Defense Force, IDF. This is the man who was charged by the prime minister with the task of designing and building this wall. And they have over 400 miles of security barrier in Israel, and it is tremendous. You went from hundreds of fatal shootings and bombings to just a couple dozen over the same number of years. And the reality was, when you have an orderly immigration system, you're able to catch the bad guys. Now, some of them do manage to actually jump the fence. But it's like a multi-layer fence, and then there's a buffer zone in it. And if you have effective surveillance technology, folks, by the time someone actually scales the wall or cuts through the wall and then is sprinting across a couple hundred yards, which is littered with heat sensors and motion sensors and infrared cameras and stuff. The bottom line is that Israeli defense forces have all the time that they need, because they're strategically positioned along that barrier, to be able to swarm on the location where the incursion is taking place, and they're able to apprehend these people. And they're able to do so pretty much every single time. For those of you, a number of months ago, you might have heard about some stabbings going on in Jerusalem. Folks, this is why the stabbings were taking place. It's because Palestinian Islamic terrorists were no longer able to get bombs and guns into Israel. So they would come through legally at a border checkpoint. Then they would go to a hardware store in the city and they would buy a knife. And then they would use that knife to go in and stab an Israeli. But the fact that they were having to revert to a knife was in and of itself proof of how effective the security barrier was at stopping the flow of illegal weapons and explosives into Israel. So first, you secure the border, which you can do with physical barriers that also include drone technology, surveillance technology, infrared cameras, motion sensors, vibration sensors, both above ground and underground. So you would both see anyone attempting to get over the wall, but also sense the vibration of anyone seeking to create a tunnel under the wall. And also the second element going with that, doubling the size of ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and increasing the Border Patrol by 5,000 agents. A lot of people are stunned to hear this, but right now, under the Obama administration, there are times at which there's roughly only one Border Patrol agent per mile of border with Mexico. And when you're talking about one person having to cover a whole mile, I mean, I'm sure you can imagine, it's no surprise that some people managed to slip through that. But building up the Border Patrol, beefing them up by 5,000 additional agents and doubling the size of ICE and re-engaging them at the border. Many other people also don't realize that President Barack Obama actually withdrew the Border Patrol to miles in many sectors, to miles away from the border itself. So you're getting these people actually crossing, and at the point of crossing, there's no one to actually interdict them. It's not until you're actually getting into the interior, where obviously the further you get away from the border, people can actually melt into a population center. So it's a matter of securing the border. Then with the criminal aliens here, with the increased ICE resources and DHS resources, rounding up people that come into U.S. custody who have criminal records or are charged with a crime, there is no more catch and release. He would end that policy where you don't just issue someone a court date and put them back in the population. They would be kept in federal custody until they were actually removed from the country. And if you look at the heartbreaking visuals of many of the people who died at the hands of illegal aliens, those angel moms on the stage with him, we see that for many of them, these were illegals who had been apprehended, then released back and committed another crime. And this time it actually took an innocent American life. And then finally, Donald Trump says that after the end of all that, as we deal with all the criminal aliens and have secured the border and thus have ended the problem, after it is secure, and after we're dealing with a relatively small number of what he was describing as generally decent people, people who had only broken the law and coming in, then we could talk about a compassionate way to dealing with the remaining ones who are left. I think those are great broad strokes, but I want to hear what you think. So give us a call at 866-372-7234. Taking your calls after the break.
Did you know that abortion facilities have different health standards from ambulatory surgical centers? On June 27th, in a 5-3 decision, the Supreme Court struck down several provisions of the Texas Abortion Safety Statute in Whole Women's Health versus Hellerstedt. This basic common sense law would have required that abortion facilities be held to the same standard as ambulatory surgical centers, and that abortionists have admitting privileges at a local hospital. These regulations would have protected women from the lax practices of the abortion industry by requiring that abortion centers meet necessary health and safety standards. It is yet another sad example of the abortion distortion bias that is occurring in our nation's highest court. Despite this setback for the pro-life movement, there are many pieces of legislation currently being offered that will protect unborn children and their mothers. For questions and answers on this Supreme Court decision, and for direction on where the pro-life movement can go from here, visit frc.org/womenshealth.
God reached Michael Brown with faith in Christ when he was a 16-year-old drug-using rock and roller. With that faith, Dr. Michael Brown has devoted his life to spreading the gospel and sparking moral revolution.
The world continues to go crazy all around us. I'm here to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity.
Dr. Brown has debated Jewish rabbis, agnostic professors, and gay activists, and is widely considered to be the world's foremost messianic Jewish apologist. Dr. Michael Brown will be one of the speakers this year at the annual AFA Retreat at the Cove, October 3rd through 6th. Space is limited to 400 attendees, so make your plan soon. Get more information at afafoundation.net. Register by calling 800-950-2092, option 1, followed by option 2. It's the annual Retreat at the Cove in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of North Carolina at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. And we hope to see you there.
Freedom is an amazing gift from God, and He's given us an incredible number of heroes charged with the job of protecting it. I'm Eric Horner, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of doing something really special for those who've answered freedom's call. On Saturday, September 17th, Operation Tankful of Love, in partnership with American Family Radio, will again be working to bless the men and women serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with a gift of some free gas.
Living the life of a soldier is rough with being away from family and having to deal with just the environment that's there sometimes, and this kind of stuff raises morale.
The sacrifice that you guys make makes the sacrifice that we make so much worth it.
If you'd like to be a part of Operation Tankful of Love 2016, you can give us a call at 877-968-3742 to make your tax-deductible donation. You can also donate online by going to tankfulofloveoff.com. Won't you join us in being the hands and feet of Jesus to those who serve?
Ken Klukowski, guest hosting for Washington Watch. We're talking about immigration, talking about corruption. We're going to be talking in the next segment about Hillary Clinton. Again, dealing with technical difficulties with one of the honored guests of this show. But we want your reaction to this three broad stroke plan of securing the border, dealing definitively with illegal aliens, removing those that we catch, no questions asked, never turn them back into civilization, into society. If federal agents get a hold of them and they are for deportation, they will not escape federal custody until they are actually delivered across the border. And then once those two elements are taken care of, that then you can have for those for the remainder of those left out of that population, people who maybe have established some sort of roots over time in this country and aside from the act of entering here illegally have otherwise been a productive member of society. He went on to say no path to citizenship. And for many of them, there would even be a requirement to touch back in their homeland and come back in through the legal process. But at least at that point, with a much smaller population that has no criminals in it, because if anyone commits a crime, they're out right away, he says. And with the border being secured so that this problem is no longer growing, that the American people might then be willing to have a long conversation as to exactly how they want to proceed on that. We would love to have your thoughts on that. If we could start off with Yvette from Tennessee. Yvette, you're on Washington Watch.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, Yvette. What can we do for you?
Great. Hi. God bless you and AFR. Blessings, blessings. I've learned so much from y'all. As far as Trump is concerned, I'm behind him 1,000,000% on this border issue. And I'm just going to wrap it up in a nutshell and maybe give some food for thought. And that is, as taxpaying citizens in the greatest country, nation, in the world. We all pay taxes to fund security for the White House, everybody that works in the White House. We pay trillions of dollars for Obama to go play golf at Martha's Vineyard and all of his entourage. God knows what that bill is to us taxpayers. I'm scared to even think about it. The bottom line is, as taxpaying citizens, if we're required to pay for security for our government that is supposed to be representing us, I firmly believe in my heart that our government should be doing everything in its power to protect its citizens. And I'm going to leave it at that and let you have your say.
Well, I appreciate it, Yvette, and you know what? I think that sounds like a very thoughtful position. I certainly understand where you're coming from there, and I have nothing to add except saying thanks for sharing your thoughts with the show. Turning now to Linda from Texas. See, folks, it doesn't always have to be adversarial. It's sometimes, you know, great Americans just call in. They have important thoughts. And we're able to share that with a million of your fellow citizens, including a number of our elected leaders. And that's what Yvette gave us. Linda, you're on Washington Watch.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, Linda. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you. I have thoughts against and for the three subjects that Trump spoke about. And one,
you have fought. I want to make sure I heard you correctly. You have fought for and against each of those three?
Each, yes. One, why would we put up a large wall, as you were speaking about, when China had the Great Wall for their purpose of keeping war down and criminals coming in and so forth? You know, it makes no sense.
Didn't it work for China?
Pardon?
I thought it worked for China. You don't think it worked?
It did work for China. However,
okay.
However,
so how does that say we shouldn't have that here if it actually worked there? Or to take a modern example, let's take Israel's security barrier. I mean, that works fantastic.
I know, but I don't think we should do that. One, I'm not Mexican. I've been, you know, I'm American and so forth. But is it right for us to go into Mexico, cross the border, go in, build homes there, and do whatever we want in Mexico, and not let...
This would be on the American side. We don't build a wall in Mexico. We build it on the border. The border is the line where our country ends and their country begins. I have to say, I think a good security border, I think it protects American welfare. I also think it protects Mexican welfare because you don't have coyotes. You don't have people able to exploit women and children, running them as drug mules across the desert in an environment that, in fact, can be fatal for them. I think we're just on different pages there, Linda. And in fact, folks, I know we have callers lighting up the board here, but we have a special guest with us that I'd like to turn to now, if we may, and hopefully we can get him back after the break or later in the show, if possible. Chris Kobach is the Secretary of State of Kansas, a former top advisor to the U.S. Attorney General at the U.S. Department of Justice, and the architect of significant parts of the immigration plan of Donald Trump, and the author of the platform in the Republican Party for immigration. Mr. Secretary, I'm so glad you were able to join us on Washington Watch.
Great to be with you.
I'm afraid we only have 90 seconds left in this segment, but would love to have your bottom line reaction, and then perhaps we could hold you over for just a couple minutes after the break as to what your takeaway was from Mr. Trump's immigration policy that was his major address this week.
It was an historic speech. I don't know of any presidential candidate who's ever given that level of detail in how he wants to address the illegal immigration problem. And it's also something that those of us in the immigration enforcement movement should be cheering. If every item of his 10-point plan comes to pass, illegal immigration really will be a thing of the past. So if he can get elected and get it done, it will be a true achievement for the country.
Now, we're going to be heading to break here in a moment. When we get back, I'm going to have a two-part question for you. What you think he can do administratively and through his executive prerogatives versus what he needs Congress for? And second, what you think about the balance of security measures and then also long-term labor-related policies. We'll be back, folks, in 2 minutes with Secretary Kobach after the break.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, the job numbers out. U.S. creates 151,000 jobs for the month of August. Unemployment rate stays at 4.9%. That is a terrible number, and it is well below what everyone was expecting. So the question is, why are the markets seeming to like this number? Because the odds of the Federal Reserve raising interest rates in September are done. That's not going to happen. We can almost count on that. Listen, I don't care what the number was. I don't think the Federal Reserve was going to raise in September. I've been saying that primarily due to political reasons. Janet Yellen likes her job probably enough that she doesn't want to benefit Donald Trump in any way, shape, or form by allowing the market to take a dip. But the big number to me is 62.8. That is the labor participation rate. Interesting, the same labor participation rate we had last August, but more importantly, the same labor participation rate that we had in 1978. We still remain at historically low levels. We need wages to increase dramatically. We need to be incentivizing people to get back to work, but that's hard to do too when you don't have the opportunity for them to take advantage of. This all speaks of a much weaker economy than you might think by listening to mainstream media.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
And we're back, America, continuing our interview with Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach. Mr. Secretary, I know we're on an abbreviated time frame here, so we just have another 2 minutes here. I would like your bottom line take on what you think a president can do immediately versus what sort of things he needs Congress to do, and also what you think about the balance Mr. Trump spoke in terms of securing the border and cracking down on criminal illegal aliens on one hand, but then talking about how that will establish a more peaceful environment in which we can talk about compassionate ways to potentially deal with other segments of the illegal alien population, but that there's really no such conversation to have until we solve the problem in front of us.
Well, regarding what he can do immediately, there are several things that the true executive authority that is within constitutional limits and within statutory limits allows a president to do. So one of the things he said in the 10-point plan was to end catch and release, 100% detention. In other words, when an ICE agent catches an illegal alien, you don't just hand him a piece of paper saying, come back someday 9 months from now, and of course he doesn't do that. You put him in detention, and then you proceed him quickly, move him quickly through removal proceedings. He can do that right now under existing law. Zero tolerance for criminal aliens. He can do that right now. In fact, we have some 6,000 ICE agents, including thousands of deportation officers, who are essentially being ordered to sit on their hands by the Obama administration, and he can immediately mobilize them, even without tripling the number of deportation officers. He can cancel the unconstitutional executive orders, the two executive amnesties. He can do that on day one, if he wants to. He can, there are a couple of things he can start. He can start the wall. There's nothing prohibiting that he doesn't need congressional authorization. And indeed, there already is congressional authorization if he did need it, to begin the building of the fence along the southern border. But he will need additional appropriations, but he can start immediately his authority to begin building the wall. So those are things that he can do right now. Some of the other things, like e-verify for the entire country, that's going to require an act of Congress. We have five states that mandated at the state level, but it will take an act of Congress to require every employer in America to use e-verify, and that's a big, big step that needs to be taken. The five states that do it right now and are seeing really good success in driving out illegal labor are Arizona, Alabama, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Georgia. So
it sounds like there's a great deal he could do, and then he needs Congress to pick up the slack beyond that. Mr. Secretary, there's no greater expert in the country on immigration policy than you, by my light. So I was so grateful that you could come in, and we'll look forward to picking this conversation up as these details continue to unfold.
All right, will do.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. God bless.
Thank you.
Turning now to another great friend of this show, former United States Ambassador to the United Nations Human Rights Commission, and here at FRC, the Senior Fellow for Human Rights and Constitutional Governance, our very own Ken Blackwell. Mr. Ambassador, welcome to the show.
Ken, good to be with you. And what a day. You know, we've had 60 pages of a document dump, what we call in the trade a turkey drop on a Friday afternoon that I think sheds plenty of light on the fact that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton exercises bad judgment. She is dishonest, therefore has a character flaw, and what her excuses and her dodges of the hard questions of the FBI suggest, given that she could not recollect any of those details or those actions that she took that had a serious commitment to protecting the national security of our country.
And that's just shocking, isn't it? Someone who says, I screwed up handling classified information, not because I'm a liar, but because I have a history of concussions and brain clots. And by the way, you should entrust me to run the military.
Yeah, she's just established that she has and raised in her own response that was released in those documents today that there is a real health and fitness challenge, among other things, that the American people should consider when deciding if she is prepared to be the president of the United States.
Which is something that the left in the establishment media tried to laugh off as a conspiracy theory. And now we have the Democratic nominee for president saying, I acknowledge that there were potential violations of federal law here for classified information because I have serious health problems.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think, look, with President Obama, it is a matter of dealing with someone who has a crazy ideology and has a tendency to go outside of the Constitution in terms of exercising exercising his constitutional powers. Now, with Hillary Clinton, it is a dangerous mix of lawlessness and so criminality, and that same penchant for big, overreaching federal government in the hands of somebody who basically just has a lust for power.
Now, Mr. Secretary, one of the things I found fascinating, we just have 45 seconds now, is that in these records, it indicated that Hillary Clinton went through 13 mobile devices that have gone missing. Two of them were hand-destroyed by aides using hammers. The other 11 cannot be accounted for at all. Now, you held security clearance at the highest level as our ambassador to the United Nations. Did you ever hand off wireless devices to an aide that had classified material on it and say, hey, just go do something with this?
I would still be serving time, Ken.
Well, there you have it, folks. Mr. Secretary, God bless you. We so appreciate that you could join us, adjust your schedule there. And folks, huge stuff. We'll be back with your calls after the break.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City. JFK Airport direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
The AFA Target boycott has reached 1.4 million pledges, and still Target refuses to budge. They say transgendered individuals are free to use whatever bathroom or fitting room they choose. We say that policy gives opportunity to those who would prey on women and children. It surely doesn't make them feel safe. It seems like Target wants to get rid of traditional values. Sign the boycott pledge and share the link at afa.net. Together, let's make sure Target listens.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Hi, this is David Harms with India Partners, and thank you. We have presented to you the need of funding a children's home and orphanage in Southeast India. The fact that we needed to do this rather quickly because of the building codes in India requiring separate orphanages for boys and girls. And so with the land purchased and the site prepared and the permits all procured, all we needed was the funding to actually build the building. And thanks to you, the AFR family, that funding is now in place. We cannot say thank you enough. And what that means is that even before the September 15th deadline, we will be able to break ground, start putting in the foundation, and everything will work just according to plan, in that these boys that were at risk of being put into a government orphanage or an orphanage run by another religion, that's not going to happen. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Want to find out more or still give? Go to afr.net.
And we're back, America, opening up the phone lines for you to weigh in. It's, I'll tell you, the rigors of live radio when you're dealing especially with election season, where big name people have duties and events that take them to all sorts of different places. And on a national show, you connect with people as best you can. I appreciate all of you hanging with us as we went on that roller coaster. But I think you got the main points, both from Secretary Kobach and from Ambassador Blackwell. So regardless of what issue has really been catching your attention this week, whether it is immigration, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or this new revelation that she egregiously violates national security laws because she has such a serious health problem. Regardless of how you come out on those issues, let us know at 866-372-7234. That's 866-372-7234. I want to always be careful to invite people who disagree with the viewpoints that you're hearing, either from your humble guest host here or from our guests. I mean, if iron sharpens iron, we say that over and over. What we tend to lose sight of is that you ever see iron sharpening iron? Sparks fly, people. It generates heat. It generates friction. But that's how we all get sharper. It's how we all get stronger. And if we're ultimately about exploring the truth here, that's what we need to do. We live in a democratic republic, and this country requires advanced citizenship. It means we all have to stand up, we have to use our voice, and seek to persuade our fellow Americans. And so you can do that with a million of your fellow Americans, including your host here, at 866-372-7234. And we're going to start with David from Arkansas. David, you're on Washington Watch.
I can call, Ken. I have to disagree with you on needing immigration reform, because the immigration laws that we had 50 years ago was working well. What we need is enforcement. The immigration laws were good the way they were. Just enforce what we've got.
Oh, I think, David, there seems to be a broad consensus that right now the visa allocations that we have don't make sense, that we give, for example, we give out a limited number of high-skill visas to immigrants coming in with PhDs and doctorate degrees and whatnot. But under the current immigration system, those are the ones we do not allow to stay in this country. I mean, people who come in with incredible educations and scientists and doctors and people with amazing skill sets that would benefit America. But we have quotas regarding low skill job sets that are just decades outdated. So, I mean, from everything that I hear from all the experts and all the charts that I've seen, it looks like it's not just a matter of securing the border, but it's a matter of completely overhauling the number of people we let in and in what category, for what professions, for what length of time, under what circumstances, that we need to completely overhaul that with one guiding principle. What is in the national interest of the American people, and that we should have whatever immigration policy works for that, not one that might have fit the economy 40 years ago, but that we have a very different economy now. But David, I appreciate you you sounding off on that. And folks, and we certainly agree on the enforcement end as well. But folks, I want to know, do you agree with David? Do you agree with me? Or is there some other aspect of the situation that's got your attention? Let us know at 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. A couple points that Secretary Kobach mentioned that I think are especially worth exploring is where he talked about the kind of things we need to do with Congress in terms of nationwide E-Verify and to establish a nationwide biometric tracking system. I mean, it's Visa and MasterCard. Folks, they can find you anywhere you go on Earth. There is not a rock you can hide under in a South Pacific nation where they're not going to be able to find you if you're not paying your bill. That technology exists, and it's just a matter of actually applying it during the application process to people who come into this country who are not citizens. That way, for a non-citizen, we will know as you're regularly using that biometric information. First of all, I mean, we have your fingerprint, we have your facial profile, we have all of this information about you, and this is documentation. This is an electronic device that you're going to be using many times during your normal interaction, such that immigration officials are going to know exactly where you are. They'll know when your visa is getting ready to expire. And it's right now we just have, and again, this is a reason we need to overhaul the laws that we have, and I had to disagree with David, is technology has moved so far over the past decades, and we don't have any of that in our immigration system. As a result, we get people who come into this country, and then they just disappear. Some of them come in illegally. Others come in legally. Their visa expires. They just disappear, and months later, they're still here, sometimes even years later. We need to change that, and we can. Turning now to Andrew from Virginia. Aaron, you're on, I'm sorry, Andrew from Virginia, you're on Washington Watch.
Thank you, sir. I want to say that I'm surprised, but I do agree with you that on the fact that iron goes sharpen iron, that you're eager to talk to people with other viewpoints.
Andrew, why does that surprise you? You said you're surprised to agree with me. Do you hear my voice and say, that sounds like a guy I know I'm going to disagree with?
No, not by the sound of your voice. It's by the radio station. I try to listen to everything and watch all the news outlets from very far right, like you guys, to very far left.
That's wonderful. I love that kind of classical liberalism, just a welcoming of diverse viewpoints. I think that's great. Tell me where we agree and disagree, Andrew. Let's see if we can right each other's ship.
Well, I agree with you that we need a 6-4 border, and I agree with you that there are some really great immigrants here that we need to keep over here. We need to get some really smart people
into this country. I was going to ask why it always seems that on this show, I guess I can only speak for this show, speaking to you right now, that you only have people who agree with you if iron sharpens iron and you feel that way. Like, if you only have guests, why you only have guests that agree with you. I'll phrase it that way.
Oh, it's I have at times brought on hostile guests. I brought on one gentleman who was talking about how he thought we could have a third-party candidate who could actually become president, which is an idea that I think is just absolutely dead wrong, and I was happy to bring him on. He was talking about why he thinks observant Christians should not vote for Donald Trump, and I just thought he was – as someone who is a practicing constitutional lawyer, okay, who deals with cases before the U.S. Supreme Court and who understands the earthquake of an impact caused by the death of the late Justice Scalia and what a sea change in the law the next presidential appointment to the high court is going to make. I mean, I just thought it was dead wrong. So, I mean, I try and bring on guests who disagree. Would it surprise you, Andrew, that that sometimes we get opposing voices that are just a little nervous to go head-to-head with someone who's ready to throw down with them? I hope you can appreciate that.
Oh, well, sir, I'm certain that that you do. Now, the thing is, I think that's the exception that proved the rule. You know, you weren't readily able to pull out that one, but yeah, I listen to you guys a lot. I split between you guys and another news station that's a little bit more left-leaning. And you guys, a lot of the time, only have people that agree with you, and in the same way that the left-leaning news stations have.
Well, tell you what, Andrew, let's end on a point of disagreement. Tell me something where you and I do not agree on relative to what we're talking about today.
Well, I consider myself a moderate, but on this point, I consider myself conservative. I don't think we should be using this sort of technology to track people any more than we absolutely positively need to. That's a slippery slope to an Orwellian state.
I agree with you there, but I agree that it's a slippery slope with the following caveat. The Constitution draws a bright line between foreign policy and domestic policy, between national security and criminal justice, between citizens and foreigners. The idea behind our Bill of Rights in various provisions in the U.S. Constitution was to ensure that the American people would always have defenses against their own government. But when it's an issue of someone who is a foreigner, coming into this country is not a right, it's a privilege. And as such, our immigration policy is therefore dictated by what's in our national interest. And that means, among other things, look, I've been to 26 nations on Earth, okay? I've been all over the planet, all inhabited continents. You know, when I'm there as a foreigner, there are all sorts of things that those governments reserve the right to know about me. That because I am a guest in their land, I have no vested right to be there. And I say that I think the same thing needs to apply here. We have the technology, Andrew, and I think we should use it. But I'll tell you, if there are more liberals like you out there, we might just be able to join together and actually fix some of these problems. Appreciate the call. Turning now to Janet from Texas. Janet, you're on Washington Watch.
Okay. I'd just like to say I'm a school teacher. And I have many children that I think would probably come from homes that were illegal. But what I'm talking about is I once knew a woman from the Philippines who spent years, and also a woman from Vietnam who spent years trying to get their parents over here or a relative over here. And it took 9-10 years to get them over here legally. I think something needs to be done about that. We don't have to just have geniuses come over. We also have people who have relatives, loved ones, and they need to have them come over. And it's not a matter of filling out paperwork and getting the job done. It's a matter of years of waiting, and that's ridiculous. Come on, seriously.
Well, I'll tell you, Janet, it is I'm a big fan of keeping families together. And I think that that is important. In fact, it's of paramount importance. The challenge is that our immigration must be dictated by our national interest. And the reality is that our landmass and our resources, you know, we have 320 million people in this country. There are 7 billion people on the planet. We just can't fit all of them. in here. So it's a matter of having to be selective about who comes in and how. Now, I do think, I think I agree with you on this, there's a huge number of absolutely unacceptable and inexcusable delays in terms of bringing people into this country who should be in here. Now, the debate is figuring out who those people are, but the process is slow, it's antiquated, it's wasteful, and that is why we need fundamental reform of our entire immigration system, not just securing the border, but that's what Donald Trump was talking about earlier this week, completely revolutionizing how we do immigration in this country to bring it into the 21st century. You know, we don't need to do this with typewriters. We can do it with the equivalent technology of smartphones in the internet. Janet, thanks for calling. Moving on to Sylvia, also from the great state of Texas. You're on Washington Watch.
Hi, sir. Thank you for having me. I appreciate your show. I listen every day. I want to talk to you about Mr. Trump. I was supporting her 100%. I believe in the safety of our country since we have a great nation by having a retired military. I live here by Fort Hood. And I have one thing that I don't agree. And one of the things is that when it's about immigrants, not all of them are be able to be here in this country, like you said, because we have a lot of people that are criminals and committing crimes and they are not getting punished the way they're supposed to. But at the same time, I live in California before I came to Texas. And if you go to see the fields, there are people picking peppers and tomatoes. I don't see African-American or an American laying down there. And I believe the prices of the vegetables are because these people are getting low pay because for the simple reason they are illegal. And so I agree and I don't agree. I think there are a lot of good people. They deserve to have a citizenship. But immigration has a lot of corruption, just like the VA. So that's what I see.
I hear you, Sylvia, and I appreciate your call. I think we really need to clean up the system. I think that the guiding principle, I've said it before, but I'll say it again, it bears repeated because I think the establishment media tries to bury this point. America's immigration policy must be guided by our nation's interest. We need to have an America first policy. And that means our own nation's policy needs to put our own citizens first. Now, to the extent we can have foreign visa programs that serve our people, that help our interests, and also enrich people and help them in other countries. I think where we can strike those balances, it's a wonderful win-win for everyone. Sylvia, thanks for calling. Our last caller today is Mark from Texas. Mark, you're on Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me. Just found your show, and I really enjoy it.
Oh, thank you.
The only thing I want to point out is, how come they don't take away, or you know why they don't take away the carrot for coming over here? How come if you're an illegal immigrant, you still get WIC, you still get all sorts of government handouts, and especially you get free public schooling? If we were to take those away, you wouldn't have to worry about enforcement because the illegal immigration, no matter where it comes from, would control itself.
Great question, Mark. Great question. And that's where Donald Trump did a huge part of his show on turning off the magnet, where he talked about changing the laws on eligibility for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. It's the way those laws are written right now. That's why those people are coming here. There's also a real bad Supreme Court decision, Plyler v. Doe, 5-4 decision written by the ultra-liberal William Brennan in 1982. They said you can make no difference between illegal and legal aliens. I think that needs to be overruled, and I think it will. Folks, that's all the time we have for today in Washington Watch. I've been your guest, Ken Klukowski. Check out our work at firstliberty.org and our news at Breitbart.com. We'll see you next time. God bless.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.